Switzerland, the Swiss franc, they had a vote, I think it was a couple weeks back, their political parties or whatnot, they had a vote, and I think it was like 100, it was so close of a vote that there's an injunction, it has to go back to the people now. And this vote was had something to do with the gold standard coming back in the banks, right? So they're going to vote on November 30th. It just hit the news Friday. I kind of knew about it about a week ago. It was on a YouTube channel. It was on some weird YouTube channel where this guy was talking, and I was like, ah, that's a bunch of baloney. But then it hit the news, and it was confirmed that they are voting on this on November 30th. And they're looking for a 20% holding of gold for every Swiss franc that they have. So that's coming down the pipeline here real quick. And right now the voting polls are, it's going to pass. So what that does is China and Russia have been buying all the gold, and the gold market has been dropping. And you would think if somebody's buying, it would be rising, but it's not. It's dropping. So they are the majority of the gold holders. And I was doing a little research of whatnot, but there's only enough gold in this world to fill up one football field, the plane size, 5 foot 6 inches thick. That's all the gold that there is, right? And analysts are saying, oh, gold's going to go to 5,000, but the people that are really doing the research are saying that it could go to 50,000 to be worth all the debt that there is in this world right now. So just something to think about, something to watch anyway. It's nothing of any spiritual application, I don't think. So anyway, we'll go ahead and pray and get in a message. Huh? Oh, yeah, yeah. Gold, God's got all the real gold that's really pure, pure. There we go. All right, we'll go ahead and pray and get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and thank you for a place to come out of the rain and hear them and hear your words and sing songs about you, Lord, and we're thankful for that, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. We've got to be thankful for you preserving this country as long as you have with the wickedness that is in this world, Lord, and we're thankful that you provide a way of salvation that we can escape your judgment. And Lord, we pray for those that are in need of that escape route, in need of Jesus Christ, Lord, that they would see their need and come to Jesus the moment they see it, Lord. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay. Matthew 12, I think we left off in verse 28. We'll start off in verse 27. Here's the Pharisees, and they're accusing Jesus Christ of having an unclean spirit. When you go and you do the comparison in Mark, that's what they're saying here. And they're accusing him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And he says in verse 27, if I be Beelzebub and cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. And so basically, what these Pharisees thought is Jesus was a sinner, right? They thought their children were better than Jesus because their children were doing the same thing, and they weren't accusing them of casting out devils by Beelzebub. And so, verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now, Jesus is going to show us, the Holy Spirit is going to show us how the devils have to come out of a man when Jesus casts them out. And at the same time, he's going to show us that the kingdom of God is within you, and that is the Holy Ghost ruling inside of you. That's what he's going to show. Verse 28, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Where's the kingdom of God? It's within you, right? And so it's come unto you. Verse 29, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now, the strong man's house, folks, is the devil's house, right? And that's the body of a human being. That's where the devils like to dwell, inside of human beings or inside animals. The first choice is a human being, secondly animal, thirdly the depths of the sea. That's where they dwell. That's where they like to go. And when Jesus cast a devil out of a human's body, what happens? What happens? The Holy Spirit has to enter into that person, right? And take rule of that person's house. And so what he does is he binds the strong man, which is the devil or unclean spirit, and he casts them out. That devil has to leave. It has to leave because the Holy Spirit has spoiled his goods. His goods is the house. He spoiled it. He took it from him. And that's the man's body or the woman's body. Now, folks, that is the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is the physical kingdom, but the kingdom of God is within you. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you, ruling inside of you. And we'll get into this a little bit more. Now, this doesn't mean, folks, that a person is born again. The Holy Spirit can come inside of a person, cast the devils out, and take rulership. Right? But he can do that against that person's will. If somebody else were to say, try to cast them out in Jesus' name. Now, there's times when you will want to do this, and then there's times where you don't want to do this. The times when you want to do this is if the person is not getting the message, if there's something that's interfering with you giving the person the gospel message. But there are other times, folks, where God's judging a person, and he's allowed those spirits to enter into somebody, and sometimes when you cast them out, if it's not for the gospel's sake, you're really doing nothing for the person, right? And it's the Holy Spirit that has to cast them out. He's the one that goes in and binds that strong man and spoils him. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's what he does. And so a person doesn't necessarily have to be born again for the Spirit of God to come upon him. Look in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God would come upon a person all the time. And John the Baptist had the Spirit of God in him. Right? He was, the Spirit of God was in him. The Spirit of God was in Jesus. And so sometimes it's necessary for us to intercede for a person and ask the Lord to bind or to cast out any devils that are inside of somebody. That way we can give them the gospel message so that they can understand, so that they have a good kind, they can make a good conscious decision for themselves and not have any interference from the outside force, right? And so, but that doesn't mean that they're saved. The Holy Spirit can come in and spoil the house, because we're going to read later that when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came. Right? So, an unclean spirit can come back in a man, but the Holy Spirit would have to be gone. Right? And so that is the time when an unclean spirit can come back into a man. If you've interceded and you've asked the Lord to cast out a devil out of somebody and you've given them the gospel message and they've rejected it, then the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, doesn't come inside that man. But the Holy Spirit won't come inside that man to dwell in him and seal him, right? And so the unclean spirit can then come back in, even after you've cast them out. But once the Holy Ghost is ruling by the person's own decision, by their choice, they've received Jesus Christ, they've received His promise, then the Holy Ghost comes inside of you and reigns until you're saved, until you're redeemed, completely redeemed. And then the unclean spirits can't come in inside you anymore. They can attack the outside of you and influence your outside, the outside, your mental, your brain or whatnot, but they can't come in and take ownership anymore because the Holy Ghost is there. The kingdom of God is within you. And so the kingdom of God could, it's saying right here that the kingdom of God could come into or the Holy Spirit could come into somebody, and the kingdom of God is come upon you. That means the Lord's here. It's a legitimate offer. He's offering the kingdom of heaven, and with the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. And that's why when there's a millennial reign of Jesus Christ, that the Jews that have trusted in Him in the tribulation and those that have trusted in Him in the Old Testament, they're going to get resurrected and they get a new heart and a new spirit and they get the Holy Spirit inside of them. They're born again. The nation's born again as a corporate nation. And so the people make up the corporate nation. Okay. And so once a person gets the permanent dwelling of the Holy Ghost, then these devils, they can't come back in. But if somebody makes the choice not to receive the message, not to believe in Jesus Christ, not to believe His words, then those devils can come back and take residence, and usually they come back with more. And the Bible says seven more. And the state of that man is worse. Why? Because he was able to reach, he made a conscious decision by himself. And so now it's going to be worse for that guy because he's rejected the message. And that's how that works, folks. That's how that works. And so I don't believe that we should use the casting out of devils as a ministry to help people unless you're doing it to get that person the gospel so they can make a conscious choice. That's when... If you need to interfere, if you need to intercede that way, and you're asking the Lord to do that, then I think it's okay. But just to go and cast devils out of people to help them, you're doing no good because they're just going to bring back more, right? You got to get them the message. That's the whole idea, is getting somebody to a point where they can make a decision without being influenced internally. And so once you've trusted Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God reigns in you until the Lord comes back and forevermore. So verse 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Do you know why the Jews are scattered abroad today? Why? Because they are divided against the Lord Jesus Christ. And these people here, the leaders are deceiving the people. Those that are against Jesus Christ don't want anybody else to be for Jesus Christ. Why? The kingdom of heaven, it's violence. It's all violence. They're lawless people, and they want to be in charge of somebody. They don't want the Lord ruling inside of you. And so those that have trusted Christ and have the Lord ruling inside of them, they want others to have the Lord ruling inside of them. But those that don't want anything to do with Jesus, they don't want you to have, they don't want anybody else to have anything to do with Jesus. And that's why you have struggles amongst family members. When people inside of a family, unsaved family, they get saved, they get grief from all sides. Whether it's from the aunts and uncles, the mom and dad, the brothers and sisters. Why? Because they're divided against Jesus Christ. And that's how the Jews are. They are not with Him. They're against Him. And so they scatter the people against Him. And people don't know what to do. So they go this way and this way. And this goes to show you, folks, that the Jews did it to themselves. They scattered themselves amongst the world. That's why they're scattered abroad. And this goes to show you that your worst enemy, your worst enemy, that you should be concerned with the most, is the one that you get up with every morning and look in the mirror at. Right? That's our worst enemy, ourselves. And so either you're with Jesus Christ and his cause, or you're against him and you don't want anyone else to be for him either. And that's how that works. Verse 31. Therefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, we went through this business about blaspheming the Holy Ghost back in Matthew 9, 32, and we'll go back there real quick and read that passage. It all has to do with the same thing. Some people get real legal on the words, but and we should be conscious of every word of the Bible. The Bible says, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word. And that's why, folks, when we have an idea, and when we think that the Lord is teaching us something, we need to make sure and verify with the Word of God, that's the whole Word of God, that these things are so. That's what the Bereans did. Hey, they took it as though what Paul was speaking was the Word of God, and then they went back and they made sure that those things were so in the Scriptures, right? So it's all right to believe the Word of God as it's the Word of God, but then you need to go back and search the Scriptures to make sure that whoever's telling you this up in the pulpit, whoever's telling you that it's so. Because if it's not, you could get really messed up. And you could start getting preconceived ideas with words that aren't even in the Bible. And that's we got to be very careful of that. We got to be very careful of that. Matthew 9:32. It's very easy to do. It's very easy to get messed up with men's words. Because it sounds good. It makes sense. But what does the Bible teach? And that's how we gotta look at that. As they went on, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. They're divided against Jesus Christ, and they don't want anybody else to be for him. Right? We just read that. So they'll tell you a lie. People that aren't with Christ will tell you a lie. They'll get you to make you to believe something that's not so. That's what they said. That he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Same case here, different, I would say, same thing that they said, different person maybe. It's a dumb guy again, but he's dumb and he can't. Let me see what he says. He's blind and dumb. He can't see and he can't speak, really. So this guy looks like to be a different guy. But it's the same thing. The Pharisees are saying the same thing. Look what they said here. They said, and the people were all amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Well, when the Pharisees heard it, verse 24, Matthew 12, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. They're saying the same things, folks. That's what they're saying. They're saying the same thing. But they're adding a little bit more of what they're saying here, right? They're thinking the same thing, but they're saying a little bit more here. Okay? Now, let's go to Mark 3. Mark 3 again. You're going to get a little bit more of what this means, of what they're saying here. Mark 3, we'll start off in 22. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub. He hath Beelzebub. And watch what else they say. And by the prince of Beelzebub, of the devils, casteth he out the devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, and that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. It would be a little bit different if the Bible said, hath never forgiveness, and will have eternal damnation once he perishes, once he dies. It'd be a little bit different. We could read into this a little bit more and say, that's it, he's done. If he said that, if he thought that, if he spoke that, he's a goner. It's an unpardonable sin. But it doesn't say that. The unpardonable is not even in the Bible. What it says is, he is in danger. He is in danger of the judgment. If a person is in danger, and then it's not for sure that condemnation is going to be committed to that person, if he's just in danger, right? And so the Bible has to be teaching something else here, rather than there's an unpardonable sin being taken place. Simple as that. Otherwise, it'd be clear. It would be clear. Now, folks, go with me, if you would, to John, and we're just going to read a verse there, and I'm going to show you, hey, do we have forgiveness of sins or not? If you're saved, do you have forgiveness of sins? All right. 1 John. I'm sorry, 1 John. 1 John 1, verse 9. This has to do with fellowship, folks, in 1 John. And that's the, I mean, everybody's gotten together and they figure this out. This can't have anything to do with being your sins being forgiven. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ, your sins are already forgiven. But yet the Bible says here in 1 John 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does that mean? 1 John 1, 9. Yeah. What does that mean? All right. There's confessing sins is necessity for fellowship, is it not? If we don't confess our sins and we keep sinning and the Lord keeps hammering us and we never say, it never comes to our attention that, hey, I'm sinning against the Holy Spirit, I'm sinning against God, I'm grieving the Holy Spirit, what's that going to cause you to do? It's going to cause you to leave your Bible. It's going to cause you to leave the music you're listening to. It's going to cause you to get out of fellowship with the Lord. All right? It doesn't mean that you still have sins in your life that aren't forgiven. God, Jesus paid for every sin. There remaineth, the Bible says, no more sacrifices for sin. Therefore, you can't go and ask for forgiveness and give sacrifices and do all this stuff to cleanse you from all your sin. Yet the Bible says, if we confess our sins. There's a reason why, folks, that we get judged on earth. All right? There's a reason for that. Why? The Lord wants to have fellowship with us, and he has to judge us if we don't judge ourselves. And therefore, he does that so we get right with God. We say, I'm wrong here. I'm wrong here. I need to get this right so that I can pick up my dealings and have fellowship with the Lord. Now, folks, I'm not saying that this is the case here in Matthew. All I'm saying here is there has to be something else here that this is talking about, right? hath never forgiveness of sins. And then we have, and folks, I believed like this before. I believed at one time that this was an unpardonable sin. It can only be done when Jesus was on earth. But there has to be more to that, because it says in the... Here, go back to Matthew. Matthew 12. And so I think we're missing something here. I think we're not... Something should be more in the Bible. Our minds aren't understanding what the Holy Spirit is teaching here, I think. I don't believe he's teaching an unpardonable sin here. An unpardonable sin. And so, look at what he says. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall not be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world. Right? What's this world? From Adam all the way up until the Lord Jesus Christ takes ownership, casts the devil out, and then he is in charge. He is in charge of the world. Right? That's the end. It's the end of a world. Jesus is the beginning of a new one. Or a beginning of a new world. Meaning system. Or we all know what that means. And so, if the guy dies, what does he have to be concerned about being forgiven in a new world? If he's already condemned. Right? And so, this looks like, folks, that anybody, it says, whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Right? So there's something more here, folks, that we're not seeing. Here you have a guy doing this and is in danger of eternal damnation, but it's not there yet. He doesn't have it. It's not a secure thing at that point, because he also says about a guy in the millennium that if you say something about your brother, what if you say thou fool, you're in danger of the judgment. All right, what's the judgment? And so somebody in danger of something is not yet there. He doesn't have it. It's not a set thing at that point. And that's what I'm trying to say here. So my belief is, I believe that the Lord is saying here that as long as you have these ideas, as long as you believe these things about the Holy Ghost and you're speaking against them, hey, God's already shown you the creation and you've rejected that. God's already brought to you Jesus Christ and you're rejecting that. And now you're saying Jesus Christ is casting out a devil? Because he has a devil? He's got an unclean spirit? Person's calling him a sinner. He's saying, you're a sinner. We know every unsaved person, every sinner has an unclean spirit. Right? If you could be saved and commit sin and not be a sinner, folks. But a sinner is somebody that doesn't have Jesus Christ in them. They don't have the Holy Ghost in them. They are a sinner, destined to hell. And same here. They're a sinner destined for hell. And if they don't get their hearts right, and he's going to show you here, it's in the heart. It's in the heart of man. If you don't get the heart right, you're in danger of eternal damnation. Because this is what you're saying. This is what you're thinking. Who's not going to forgive them? Who's not going to forgive them here? Hath never forgiveness. It says right here, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. All right? Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Doesn't say anything about anywhere else on this in the universe. When he says in the world. But who's not going to forgive him? I don't know that. Then he goes into verse... I'm going to stop there with that because... I'm just going to stop there. O generation of vipers. Verse 34. How can ye, being evil, speak verse 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. Now, folks, to make things consistent, Jesus is hammering these guys again. Right? And if Jesus is saying, if I'm doing bad works, then I'm a bad tree. Right? And these Pharisees were speaking evil of him. And he wasn't doing evil. He was doing good. And you look at our court systems. Look at the United States court systems, and you'll see the judges. There's an evil person, or there's somebody doing evil, yet they're letting them out on parole. There's people killing people. There's people raping people, yet they get let out on parole. Right? Why? Because this country's dumb. You go into a literate country where people don't have all the education that we have, and you steal something, they cut your hand off. You kill somebody, they end your life. But here in the United States, in this educated country, people are dumb. And they make everybody suffer for the wrong of that person and let that person off. And hence, so verse 34, we're going to verse 34, Matthew 12, 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye be in evil? Speak good things. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What is their heart saying? Their heart is saying Jesus has an unclean spirit, so their mouth is speaking it. See, what the issue, folks, is in the man's heart. If the heart were to turn, you're going to tell me God's not going to forgive somebody? While that heart is still there, while that heart is still thinking this, you don't have forgiveness, folks. You'll never get it. But the moment that your heart would turn to Jesus, the moment that your heart would say, I'm the sinner, Jesus is not the sinner, and you receive his message, what he did on the cross, you have forgiveness, folks. Christ paid for everybody's sins, the sins of the whole world. Whether you blaspheme the Holy Ghost or not, you have forgiveness at that point. Because you're not in danger of the eternal damnation anymore. Once you've trusted, once your heart is turned, you can get right with Jesus. The problem is, once you've rejected God, once you've rejected Jesus, once you've rejected the Holy Ghost, what else is there? God's done everything. That's why you're so close to falling into the eternal damnation. These guys, they can't say good things because they've chosen to be the devil's child, not God's. Right? John 8, he says, you have your father, the devil. Right? If they were already devils going to hell, why would God say to them, hey, he that blasphemes against the Holy Ghost, if you do that, you're in danger of eternal damnation. And you don't already have it. All right? The Bible says you hath everlasting life if you trusted in Jesus Christ. It doesn't say here that he that blasphemes hath eternal judgment or eternal damnation. It's because you don't have it. It's not set in stone yet. You could still have time while you're living to change your heart. And the Pharisees still have time to change their heart. And in fact, some of them do get saved in Acts. Some of the Pharisees do end up getting saved in Acts. And verse 35, and we'll be done. O generation of a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And so There's none good, the Bible says. Jesus Christ said there's none good but God, right? And so what's Jesus saying here? He's saying that what I've been talking to you, what I've been telling you is good because I'm a good tree. That's what he's getting down to, right? I'm a good tree. I say good things and I do good things. And you say I'm doing them by an evil spirit, an unclean spirit, the devil. That's evil, folks. Why? Because they're the devil's children. And they're trying to scatter abroad. They don't want anything to do with Jesus. They don't want their fellow brethren to have anything to do with Jesus. That's why they're trying to convince the crowds. He's doing this by a devil. And it's funny because when you go into it, you're going to see verse 38, and we'll go ahead and stop there, but you're going to see here that one minute they're saying he's doing these things by a devil. The next minute they're going to say, well, you need to show us a sign. Really? If he's the devil casting out devils, that's a sign, right? And now they're asking him to show them another sign? See how inconsistent children are? That's why he says that they're children, like children in a marketplace, because they don't even know what they believe. They don't even know what they believe this thing one minute, and then they want this, what they were accusing of them doing by the devil the next minute. And they want him to show them another sign. And so we'll go ahead and stop there, and we'll pray and be dismissed there. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we know, Lord, that your words are perfect. And there are things that we don't understand sometimes, and there are things, please, Lord, help us not to add words of our vocabulary to try and better understand what you're trying to teach. It's just not a good practice, and we don't have any business doing that. We need to stick to your words, and that's it. And Father, we pray that you help us do that, and we pray for the message today, that you would just bless the message, Lord, and bless those that are hearing the message, and help us to walk better with thee day by day. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.